Hey there, and welcome to Cyberpunk Librarian. I'm Daniel Messer. Minecraft is one of those things that became a phenomenon. Every so often, something comes along that goes viral and sticks around for a bit, and everybody talks about it, and then it just simply disappears. Then, very rarely, something new appears on the scene, and it's a revolution. Minecraft is one of those rare things because it's been around for years now, and people are still playing it, still loving it, and still talking about it. Heck, during the Windows 10 event, Microsoft unveiled their new HoloLens, which provides an augmented reality overlay upon whatever environment you happen to be in, right? In other words, unlike virtual reality, augmented reality allows you to continue seeing your world around you with new and interesting things on top of it. It too is revolutionary, and even the jaded tech press stood back and gasped. And what was one of the first things they demoed on this new HoloLens? Minecraft. Libraries are getting in on the game too, and that brings some fun things, some new things, and perhaps a few problems in the way that you run and maintain Minecraft goodies on your library computers. Well, hopefully I can lend a helping hand here, because I don't just help out with the Minecraft stuff at the library. I'm also an avid fan of the game, and I play it often. So let's build something your patrons can really have a good time with at your library, and it offers you new avenues for programming and marketing. After all, building things is what Minecraft is all about. This is Cyberpunk Librarian, episode 28, Building Blocks, Killing Creepers. My name is Daniel Messer, your friendly neighborhood cyberpunk librarian, welcoming you back to the show that is all about the intersection of libraries and technology and living that high-tech, low-budget lifestyle. Hey there, ladies and gentlemen, listeners and librarians. Cyberpunk Librarian is back on the air, or at least back on the net, and we are talking about Minecraft. This episode actually goes out to Ed Lytle, or Ed Little. God, I hope I pronounced your last name right one of those times, Ed, who's been very patient with me and emailed me about some Minecraft questions after I mentioned it on an earlier episode. Along with trying to answer his questions, I figured, hey, maybe there's a show here with all this Minecraft stuff. So, gather around the podcatcher, my friends. We're going to talk about one of the greatest games ever made and how you can handle it at your library. So, it's quite possible you've not heard of Minecraft by now, I suppose. It's also fairly possible you've not heard of the Beatles or some wizardly dude named Harry Potter. I would like to think that the kind of person who's into listening to podcasts would know what Minecraft is, but I'd also be doing my listeners a disservice by not giving at least a little explanation to the nature of the game. So, a little background. Minecraft was originally released in an alpha version in May 2009 by a small indie game maker called Mojang. Mojang was founded in part by Marcus Persson, the creator of Minecraft, who based his creation off of a couple of other indie games, namely Infiniminer and Dwarf Fortress. Minecraft is unique in that every game you start gives you a totally new world that's randomly generated and functionally infinite in scope. The object of the game is, really, that there is no object of the game. You are a miner. And that miner is sometimes called Steve by the fans. And you can go and build small to massive structures and stuff like that using blocks that you dig from the ground and find deep in the earth. Now, there are lots of different kinds of blocks you can use for this. You can create castles out of cobblestone or houses out of wood. Every block acts like a Lego in that you can stack things on top of each other to build all kinds of stuff. For the most part, gravity itself is a bit optional, as most blocks can float in the sky, with a couple of exceptions. While that sounds bizarre at first, it leads to really cool things like castles in the sky and floating fortresses. Beyond that, you can make things by refining other blocks. So for instance, you can use cobblestone to make a furnace. And in that furnace, you can use coal to cook sand. And you can cook that sand into glass. And now you have windows for your house or castle or whatever. Cobblestone can also be made into smooth stone by heating it in a furnace, same as you do sand. Some blocks are ores, like iron or gold. And the ore itself isn't really useful until you smelt it in a furnace to make iron or gold ingots, which in turn can be used to make tools or armor. Oh, and what do you do with the tools? Well, you go dig more ores and blocks, of course. It's sort of a self-sustaining process. Now, beyond the blocks and ores, there's this substance called redstone, which is functionally electrical wiring. Using redstone and things made from redstone, you can create complex machines and circuitry in Minecraft that absolutely boggles the mind. So there's sort of a maker element here, too. You can do simple things like create a switch that opens a door. Some people have made clocks, computers, and even word processors using what amounts to be miles of redstone and hundreds of switches and gates, all made from redstone. Meanwhile, there are creatures called mobs that can also provide you with raw materials, or a quick death, or both. There are neutral mobs like pigs, which will give you food, cows, which will give you hides, and chickens, which will give you eggs and feathers, and raw chicken. Then there's the hostile mobs like zombies and skeletons armed with bows and arrows, giant spiders, and a creature that is not only unique to Minecraft, but has also sort of become a symbol for the game. The creeper. The creeper is a four-legged green thing that is utterly silent as it sneaks up behind you, ignites an internal fuse, and then explodes. Even if the blast doesn't kill you, it's going to partially or totally destroy whatever it is you were working on. That's a real bummer. So, what does this mean for libraries? Well, one of the things I've heard is that you can use Minecraft as bait to get teens and tweens into the library. Hold a Minecraft event and hopefully the teens and tweens will walk out with a book or something. And you know what, Library Land? We need to talk about this for a second. I have literally heard and read, you know, the word bait used to talk about using Minecraft and other video games to quote-unquote lure teens and tweens to the library so they might take an interest in the books and other library collections. Doesn't that sound just a bit creepy to anyone else, too? Just a little pedophile, I mean? We don't need to use video games to bait tweens and teens to bring them to the library. We could, I don't know, use video games as a means to themselves. There's nothing wrong with teens and tweens coming to the library to play a video game, and that's it. You know what? They're socializing. They're learning things. They've come to your library, and they've turned to the library for a fun place. Not some weird bait and switch where you try and foist unwanted materials on them after enticing them with a game. You're not shoving books down the throats of your patrons who came in for a DVD, are you? Then why are you trying to do that to your teens and tweens? Quite frankly, my friends, if you have Minecraft and games like that, and they come to the library to play them, then they are already using your collection. If you are offering Minecraft, then that's just as much a part of your collection as the online databases and downloadable ebooks. Stop trying to shove things at patrons when they don't want them. When you try and force teens to read something simply because they came to play Minecraft with their friends, then in their minds you're no better than the teachers at school who force them to read crap like Great Expectations. Sorry folks, I really don't like Dickens all that much. By offering Minecraft as a service, as an option for use at the library, you're already doing something special. You're making the library an enticing place where someone can go to have some fun, and hey, when they do need that book or article from the database, then they'll be happy to come get it at the library. There's a big difference between making your place an enticing, inviting place to be and making it look like an unmarked white van with no windows. So, okay, that aside, let's talk tech, let's talk programs, and let's talk about Minecraft. Minecraft, I'm talking about Minecraft, I'm talking about Minecraft, talking about Minecraft, talking about Minecraft. So there are a number of ways you can do Minecraft at your library. It's a wonderful program that, while it's not free, it's going to cost far less than any of your online databases. Minecraft costs about $26.95 for what amounts to be an infinite license. Basically, you're buying an account that allows you to play Minecraft anywhere. The only limitation is that you can't have the same user logged into Minecraft in two places at the same time. Me? I have Minecraft on my MacBook, my work laptop, my Linux-based web server, and another computer I use at work to test installs and accounts. Oh, so as you can see, Minecraft is completely cross-platform. It works on Windows, Linux, and OS X, and I can't see a bit of difference in the experience on any operating system. When you're playing Minecraft, it's Minecraft, and the operating system doesn't matter a bit. Oh, and your account is good for all of those operating systems, too. So, like I said, I'm going to tell you about what I've done and what we do where I work. This isn't the only way to do it, and truth be told, it may not even be the best way to do it. However, since we don't have a lot of staff or time to devote towards all things Minecraft, it works for us, and it's flexible, and it's not very time-consuming. How cool would that be to have a job where you do nothing but Minecraft? Anyway. So Minecraft, the game, can basically be divided into two parts, the client and the server. Most of the time, you're playing on the client. The Minecraft game itself is a client that can also act as its own server. However, you have some great possibilities when it comes to the client-server setup. For instance, if you have Minecraft installed on the computers in the teen area, and those computers can talk to each other via the network, a player can start a game and then turn their game into a LAN server where other players can join them. So you can have multiple players building great stuff or fighting each other in a Minecraft version of the Hunger Games. Yes, that is a real thing. There will be links to that in the show notes at cyberpunklibrarian.com/podcast. So you can also have a standalone server that you can download for free. See, that's the thing. You can't play the game on the server without first buying the game, so there's no need to charge for the server. With the standalone server, you can set up a place where Minecraft players can connect and build and play together, and their stuff is more persistent than simply sitting down at a public access computer for a quick game. Our setup is a little bit of both. What we did was buy a bunch of licenses for use in the branches and install them on various computers. We also have a traveling laptop lab that branches can use for classes, events, and anything else they might need. We installed Minecraft on those computers too, so the branches can hold special events based on Minecraft. Other branches installed Minecraft on their public access computers in the teens and children's areas. The public access computers, they use a software that maintains the state of the system, so everything stays in a steady state. So worst comes to worst, reboot the computer, and when it comes up, it's just like it was yesterday, the day before that, and the day before that. So set up Minecraft, log in using one of those branch accounts, freeze everything in place, and there you go. Now, sometimes you do need to fiddle with it, and I think that has something to do with the fact that Minecraft occasionally updates itself and rechecks for user authentication. So if someone at the branch has the username and password for a given account used on a given computer, then they can always log the player in for the time being. As things go, we had some old servers that were set to be surplused. And lucky enough, the server administrator is a friend of mine, and he asked if I need a server for a project or something. After all, there's no point in sending out perfectly good, though slightly outdated, hardware, and, you know, sending it off to the boneyard when you could be using it for something. I said yes, and soon we had a Minecraft server up and running. Now, installing the client and server are dead simple. The client executes right from the download because, all in all, it's nothing but a Java package. Minecraft is programmed totally in Java. That's why it's so easily cross-platform. The server installs by unzipping it into a directory and double-clicking the executable. If you happen to be on Linux, it's a little bit more complex, but you can do it on Linux too. OS 10 and a Minecraft server is a bit fiddly. I'll put links in the show notes on how you can set that stuff up. But I really got to say, my preference is if you're going to install a Minecraft server, it's easiest to do it on Windows. It's not bad to do it on Linux. And on OS 10, be ready to do a little work. So on the initial startup, the server creates a file called server.properties, which is simply a text file with some default settings. Open that puppy up in Notepad or any other text editor, and you can change those settings to suit you. Me, I set it so the players couldn't kill each other, so we keep it friendly. So the land is peaceful and thus free of explosive creepers and deadly skeletons, and that the game's mode is creative. Now, Minecraft has different modes. Survival is sort of the default one where you have to mine for blocks, you have to forage for food, you have to watch your back so things don't kill you. And then there's creative mode, where everything is just available to you. You can still go out and mine if you want, and you can still, you know, go hunting for blocks and things like that. But if you don't want to, if you just want to build something and don't have to, you know, don't want to have to worry about going and getting all the stuff you need for it, creative is what you want, because with creative, everything is there for you to use. So, yeah, you can just build to your heart's content because everything is there. Oh, and check the show notes again at cyberpunklibrarian.com/podcast, where I'm going to be including a bunch of links, one of which will be to a website that tells you what all you can do with the server.properties config file and how that all kind of works. It's not very hard. You can just copy and paste values into it and change things as you see fit. And this website lays everything out for you to see. Another link will take you to the Minecraft Wiki, which is amazing and almost required to really play the game. Because yeah, I play the game often, but I don't always remember how to craft a certain item. So a quick glance at the wiki and a quick search to say, hey, I need to know how to craft an anvil. Because for the life of me right now, I couldn't tell you how to make an anvil or what you need or how you place it on the crafting table or anything like that. But a quick glance at the wiki will tell me what I need to do, what I need to do it with, how many of those things I will need, and how to lay them out. So it tells you how things work and even how to wire redstone circuitry and more. So that's a really good resource that if you're going to offer Minecraft, you might want to put that link somewhere on your desktop or in the browser favorites or something like that. So our Minecraft server is behind a firewall, so players have to be within the library network to use it. I would love to have like a sort of public-facing Minecraft server where people could log in and play even from home. But I don't have that kind of time. I just don't. And it's kind of sad, but that's just the way it is. So, however, they don't have to play on a public access computer to play on the server. So if someone brings in a laptop with Minecraft on it, they can certainly hop on the server using their own account too. All they need to know is, you know, the server name and how to get to it. Since the server sets the rules of the game, it doesn't matter what their client is set for, so long as it's up to date, because Minecraft is a little picky about using the latest and greatest version. But hey, if they've got it, and chances are they do, because one of the first things Minecraft does when it starts up is check for updates, then they can play. Now, on the laptop labs, they can open up games to other players. So one player can start a game, open it up, and allow others to connect. Or a librarian could do that too. They could just put a laptop in the middle of the table, and boom, that's the server after you start a game and open it up to the LAN. And soon you'll have a local server with multiple players. That's fine too, but the nice thing about a persistent server is that your world is somewhat persistent too. So if you have a kiddo who can only come in a couple times a week to play, well, they can work on their mansion and know that it will still be there when they come back. Another great thing about the Minecraft server is that it doesn't need to run on anything high-end. Ours is running on a Windows server that's several years old, and like I said, was on its way out before it was brought back to life. There's no lag or issue with the flow of the game or on the server or the clients. Though there are occasionally some connection issues, which are more network than game related. For the most part, Minecraft doesn't pull a lot of bandwidth. Once it connects to the server and gets what's called its chunks, which is what Minecraft feeds the client to build the world around the player, it tends to be just fine. You have to really have a lot of players playing on that server to really notice a whole lot of slowdown. Then again, this all depends on what kind of bandwidth you're dealing with anyway. Then again, I have to confess that that Minecraft server is doing nothing but running Minecraft server. That it's not even running anything else. So that helps. It's a single-purpose thing. So you may or may not have that ability, but if you do, it makes it really easy. Now then, managing the accounts is pretty simple, and we try to keep that as work-free as possible, because like I said, we don't have time to just run around chasing after Minecraft issues. A Minecraft account is connected to an email address. So we simply set up a bunch of Gmail accounts specifically for this. To keep things easy to handle, the Gmail accounts are sequentially numbered with sort of a username based on the branch and stuff like that. Pick something that will work for you that's easy to work with, because you're not going to touch them often, but when you do have to get in there and start fiddling with passwords or settings, you want to make it as easy on yourself as you can. The passwords are fairly secure, but likewise easy to manage if you can follow a pattern. And you can change these passwords as often as you like, but keep in mind that you'll have to do that for each individual account by logging into the account management site hosted by Mojang. So while account management can be time-consuming, it's not totally outrageous, especially since you don't really have to touch the Mojang account all that often, and you don't really need to fiddle with the email account at all after the initial setup. Now, back to servers for a minute, because there's something you will need to figure out for your library. There are plenty of servers out on the net for people to play. I have one running in my own house just so the kids and their friends can play a Minecraft server if they so desire. Unless you do something to block access to those servers, your players can use the library-based Minecraft account to play on those servers. Personally, we don't have an issue with that, but your IT folks might. It's definitely something to talk about, but really, outside of a player acting like a douche on the server, there's not much to be done there. Worst comes to worst, the player acts the fool, that account gets banned from the server, and you kind of solve your problem that way too. Finally, this game represents a rare opportunity for you, as a librarian, to start working with tweens and teens in the public. And you know why? Because while you can go out and play the game yourself and read the wiki and figure out how everything works, that's fine. Or you could just simply start talking to the people who come in and play. Seriously, those who are coming in to play Minecraft probably already know something about Minecraft. You don't have to offer yourself as the be-all, end-all resource. And I know that that's weird, especially if you happen to be a reference librarian. But if you're able to provide quick links to the wiki, hey, you're still doing your job. Do you want to know how to build a redstone-operated trapdoor? See if one of your players will show you. Don't understand the difference between a wood slab and a wood block? Well, have a look at what someone is doing with them. This is especially great at dedicated Minecraft events where the sole purpose is just to have folks come to enjoy Minecraft at the library. Either way, I've got your ticket if you want to learn more, and as librarians and listeners alike, I think you're going to love it. There are a couple of YouTube series out there that are excellent for those who want to get a feel of how Minecraft works. One I've talked about before, and it's called Ko's Quest, hosted by a guy who calls himself Co-Star. Ko plays Minecraft, and he sounds like Bob Ross. I am not even kidding. We are talking about the Happy Little Trees guy with the big afro that painted beautiful pictures on PBS. Ko sounds like him, and he's not acting. That's just how his voice is. Seriously, as a podcaster, I really tune into the sound of people's voices, and Ko has an amazing voice. You might even find it relaxing, as in each 15-minute episode, they're about 15 minutes or so, some are a little shorter, some are a little longer, he builds and adds and runs you through the game in a way that can only be described as no stress. I'll include a link to the Minecraft Muse, too, who now calls himself Spumwack. As the Muse, though, he had a wonderful series called Muse Farms that was totally a build-based Let's Play of Minecraft, so it was focused around building things. And while Ko was great at building all kinds of cool stuff in Minecraft, the Minecraft Muse, a.k.a. Spumwack, was into a more artistic side, so he was into the more making things look nifty kind of stuff. Seriously, he built a lighthouse that was functional and really cool looking. That's just one of the many things he built in the Muse Farm series. So, one word of warning, he's a bit more blunt than Co., but I find both series to be absolutely entertaining, and they really show off the game. Oh, just as a caveat, they're playing their games on older versions of Minecraft because, well, after all, these videos were made a couple of years ago. And Minecraft is updated, new stuff has been added, and all of that, but you'll still get a great overview of how the whole thing works simply by watching some videos. And hey, tell your boss that you're watching people play Minecraft on YouTube because it's part of your job and part of your programming goals for the library and your library's audience. Tell him that the Cyberpunk Librarian said it's okay. I'm sure that'll get you through. So hey, that about wraps up this episode of Cyberpunk Librarian. Thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in. And hey, give Minecraft a shot. I think, you know, not only will it really take off at your library, I think you might enjoy it too. And if you're one of those people that sits there every so often and plays solitaire, give Minecraft a try, because at least at the end of a, you know, a quick session of Minecraft, you have something to show for your efforts. It's a really fun game. Gotta recommend it. And like I said, check out the notes at cyberpunklibrarian.com/podcast, where you can pick up some links to learn more and to find out some information about the game. The music you're currently digging on is Still Alive from the video game Mirror's Edge and covered by some hack named Daniel Messer. I love video game music, and Minecraft has some amazing music by C418. Links in the show notes for his stuff and for my recent EP of space music that you can purchase and support the show or download for free from SoundCloud. Earlier in the show, you heard Minecraft the Song by Bobby Yarsulik and Minecraft Every Day by Victor Cepeda. Links in the show notes to pick those up, too. Cyberpunk Librarian is hosted by Archive, the Internet Archive at archive.org, where they too have some classic video games that you might want to check out and offer up as a program or something cool at your library. Check out the archive.org for all kinds of stuff, not just video games, but other great podcasts, the Prelinger Archive, videos, all kinds of great stuff. Great people doing great things, archive.org, preserving and saving the Internet. So hey, if you feel the need to contact me, you certainly can, and I welcome all such contacts. You can reach out to me on Twitter. I am at Bibrarian. That's B-I-B-R-A-R-I-A-N. It's like librarian, but it starts with a B. Or you can hit me up on Google+, a social network that I quite like despite what everybody says about it. That's google.com/plus Daniel Messer. And if you prefer the old SMTP method of, you know, contacting me by email, hey, that's always available. I am cyberpunklibrarian@gmail.com. And it's just about time to get out of here. Cyberpunk Librarian is produced every 2 weeks, usually drops on a Monday. In case life gets crazy, then sometimes it drops on a Tuesday. But every other Monday, check your podcatcher of choice for Cyberpunk Librarian and pick up the show notes again at cyberpunklibrarian.com/podcast. So, hey, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for not hitting skip when this came up in your podcatcher or however you listen to your online podcast and get your net-based audio entertainment. And just before I get out of here, I got to remind you that you don't have to be high-tech to be low-budget, but it certainly helps if you're a cyberpunk. Take care.